Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Welcome. Today is the start of season 5, and I am so glad that you're listening, and I'm excited to bring you some of the episodes, interviews, and fantastic shows that we have coming for you. It's going to be a great season. Today, we're starting season 5 by talking about how you make sure you and your team don't lose all the creativity, problem-solving, innovation, and learning that may have happened, and in fact, have undoubtedly happened during this time. But before we do that, first, I want to shout out to Kelly, who's part of the faculty and staff at Texas A&M. And this week, she shared a great message with us about how the show resonates for her. And she had a great question as well, which we're going to get to at the end of the episode. So, Kelly, thanks for listening and all that you do to be an awesome leader for your team and your community. Glad we can be a part of your journey. Next, here at Let's Grow Leaders headquarters, we are thrilled to let you know that our new book, Courageous Cultures, How to Build Teams of Micro-Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates, is now available for pre-order. And one of the reasons we're excited about this is that as you and your organization figure out how to take your next steps in a world where COVID-19 is reality, Courageous Cultures will give you the tools to build a culture that can innovate quickly to serve your customers, to help every team member contribute the genius that they might not even know that they have. We also have a very special opportunity coming up available for you. On July 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern, we are hosting a public idea inspiration summit where you'll get techniques that'll help you to capture lessons learned from the whole crisis and everything that's been going on and how to incorporate all of that great learning and innovation into your new normal. You'll get ways to focus your team to come up with better ideas, how to quickly vet ideas to find the gems that are going to make a real difference for you, and easy techniques to help you position your ideas and get the support that you need. And the best part is, there's no registration fee. We're asking you to pre-order one copy of Courageous Cultures, and that gets you a free ticket to attend. We don't do many public events. Our clients keep us plenty busy, so we are excited to be able to bring this one to you. You can register and get more information at letsgrowleaders.com/ideaday. That's IDEA-day. I'll also put a link in the show notes at leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com. Again, the registration website is letsgrowleaders.com/idea-day. I look forward to seeing you there. Okay, let's get into today's episode. A few weeks ago, a colleague of ours tagged Karen and I on LinkedIn, and she challenged us to film a bed talk. What's a bed talk? A bed talk is a socially distanced, quarantined version from your own home, in fact, from your bed, of a TED talk. As you listen, imagine us sitting on a bed. And also listen for a special appearance by our 14-year-old, Sebastian. And if you want to watch the video, you can find it in the show notes at leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com. Hey, everybody. So today I wanted to talk about the...
What's going on?
Hey, Karen. Lori, guest keynote speaker.
Yeah.
She challenged us to do a bed talk.
A bed talk? What's bed talk?
Well, Lori said a lot of folks in the National Speakers Association, since we can't go to TED Talks and we can't do a TED Talk, it's bed talk.
So let me get this right. All of our gigs are canceled. We finally have a little bit of time on our hands. And the best use of our bedroom, as you see it, is to set up equipment and do a bed talk. Okay. Bed talk it is.
So listen, we know that this has been a tremendous period of change and upheaval and turmoil for you, for your team, and really for people all over the world. COVID-19 has disrupted everything, and it has fundamentally changed the way right now that you are serving your customer.
And you have seen what can be done with what you have from where you are. Perhaps even some Herculean effort to do what must be done to serve your customers while keeping everyone safe. And you might not even be hearing about all the amazing best practices or workarounds that people are doing because so many people are working remotely.
In addition to that, you know, before the crisis, we did some research with the University of Northern Colorado Social Research Lab. And as part of that research, we found that 67% of people believe that their boss operates under the idea that this is how we've always done it. This is how we're always going to do it. And another 40% of people said that they lack the confidence. They don't know how to share a great idea.
But not in this moment. Right now, people all over the world are coming together and saying, how can we? How can we take scuba equipment and transform it into a ventilator? How can we still feed our school children even when the schools are closed? How can we get people taking their sewing machines and the curtains off their windows to make masks to serve our nurses and doctors? How can we still get the training done to keep our businesses moving forward, even if everyone is working remotely?
Once we get through the crisis, there's going to be a return to business. But is it going to be business as usual, or is it going to be an opportunity to capitalize on all of these innovations, on all of these new ways of doing things? We don't want to overwhelm our teams right now because they have their hands full, but there is an opportunity here to build a better future.
So while this is fresh, while people are in the middle of this incredible moment of micro innovation, problem solving, and customer advocacy, while they're asking, how can we, can you ask them to just track what they're doing, just to write it down? You don't even have to talk about it right away. Just send out the message, please don't lose these ideas. A couple of questions you might encourage them to be thinking about. What, does it turn out, are the most important things for our customers?
Yeah, what meetings are vital? What meetings have we stopped having that maybe we never need to have again?
What efficiencies have we stumbled on that we've never thought about?
And what were we doing from a business perspective, different business practices that we've stopped, we've had to stop, and maybe we never need to start again?
We all yearn to return to a new normal. The question is, what else can we learn from this terrible time? How can we work together to build a brighter, bolder, more courageous future?
Thank you.
Come on, guys, not again. I'm trying to sleep here.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
Today's question comes from Kelly in Texas, and she says this. She says, I'm working hard to become a better leader. I don't want my team to feel like I don't know how to lead, so how do I work on my leadership without looking like I'm not a strong leader? This is a great question, and it's one that bedevils many leaders throughout their career, especially as you're getting started. There's this feeling that if I show that I'm working on myself or that I'm improving in some fashion, that I'm somehow showing weakness, that I don't have my act together. And I want to reframe that for you a little bit. If you think about a professional athlete, any of them, they have coaches all the way through their career. Peak performance Olympic athletes have coaches that are constantly helping them improve their performance, figure out a new edge, a new way to train, a new way to think, a new way to visualize. Continued learning is part of any top-notch performance, and leadership is no exception. I've been studying leadership myself for decades, and I'm still learning. And of course, I'm obviously teaching other people, but constantly trying to improve my own knowledge as well. And so the place I would start, Kelly, with to answer your question is to be upfront about it, not to run from it, not to hide from it, but in fact, to embrace it and make it a part of the culture of your team, is that every single person on your team ought to be learning, ought to be increasing their capacity and improving their abilities. And that goes for you too, as it should for every leader. So when you learn a new technique, for instance, you listen to an episode of the show, or you attend a learning seminar, or you have a coach in who helps you out, and you bring that back to your team, you can be honest and say something like, I just went to this great training and they had this technique that I think is really going to help us with our communication or to run more effective meetings that take less time where we get more done. That'll make everybody happy. If you put it in terms of outcomes that are beneficial to the team that are going to help you to better serve your customers or be more efficient or more respectful of one another's time or more focused, more productive, whatever it is that is of benefit to the team, they're not going to oppose that, and they're not going to think that you're some kind of loser for improving and becoming a better leader. In fact, over time, that breeds respect, and you're role modeling what you expect of them. So that's the first place I would start, is to own it. Own that growth. Own your own leadership learning, because leaders are learners. And if you're going to be the best leader you can be, you're not going to stop learning, not for decades to come. And the second way I want to answer that question is, you may have a team member or several of them, and I have had these folks in my own career who question your learning and do interpret it as weakness. And sometimes they'll say it to your face. I remember a conversation I had many years ago with somebody who I had attended a workshop where I was learning some more leadership and supervisory skills. And I remember coming back from that workshop and this person confronting me and saying, you know, if you have to go to these things to learn how to be a better leader, are you really qualified to do this job in the first place? And part of what he was getting at was that he felt like either he or one of his friends probably should have had that role. And so we had to have a conversation dealing with that belief. And of course, I reiterated what I just shared, that I don't believe that at all. In fact, I believe that the best leaders are constantly learning and investing in themselves, and that I would never want to be on a team with a leader who felt like they had already arrived and had nothing to learn. It's that combination of confidence and humility that every leader needs to bring to the table. So if you do have folks like that who challenge you in those kinds of ways, in private, have the conversation with them. Ask if there's something else behind the question they're asking. Ask where they're learning. How are they improving? And that that's your expectation for them, and that you would be an awful leader if you weren't modeling that yourself. You can also have confidence in what you do know, that you are there helping the team to pull together to do more than they can individually. You're in that role for a reason, and you can be confident in that. And you can be confident in your track record and the things that you've already done. So you don't have to let that kind of questioning shake you. Have confidence in yourself. Reiterate why learning is vital. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and commitment to your team and being the best leader you can be. And really, that's just another facet of what we were talking about in the bed talk earlier about learning as we go. You learn from circumstances. You learn from the breakthroughs and the innovation, the creativity, and the problem solving that your team has. And you learn from people who have been down that road and have the experience and expertise that's going to help you. So Kelly, thank you for that question, and I would really love to answer your question. I hope that you will submit your leadership or management-related question. You can do that at leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com. You'll see a big orange button there. You can click that, record your question. I'll look forward to answering your question in a future episode. And until then, keep learning, and you're on your way to be the leader you want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.